So, Father, once again, we come before you and we acknowledge that you have preceded us to this time of worship, and we thank you for that and for your Holy Spirit active in our lives and in our church. Pray that you would inspire this time, Jesus, and speak to us, each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So does Prince Kozaski ring a bell to any of you? If you're a Great Hearts teacher, you might have taught Father Sergei Leo Tolstoy's short novel in your class. Prince Kozaski was on the path to greatness. He had everything going for him. He was handsome. He was tall. He had an incredible future ahead of him. But as he began to walk this path of greatness, his life was just surrounded by all kinds of challenges and temptations. First, he was tempted to adopt the corrupt values of the Russian society, the high society of Russia. And then that failed him. But then he was also tempted to rage and anger and frustration when he learned from his fiancée that she had been sleeping with a czar just a day before they were to get married. And so he runs away from all of these temptations, these myriad temptations, into the desert, into a monastery, where he becomes a monk and then a priest. And then one day, from the town came a woman who, on a bet, thought she could seduce him. And in the process of this act of seduction, he takes a knife and he chops off his finger and he runs away, away from the temptation. And he finds victory over this temptation, but only temporarily. And then one day, he succumbed to the temptations. As you remember the story, if you've read Father Sergei Leo Tolstoy, and he has an affair with a country girl, and in shame of having this affair, he runs away, and he can't get away from his shame, and he finally is away from all the temptations and all of the guilt and all of the shame that had been mounting over all these years. And so after a long time of self-confidence, where he was sure that he had the will to overcome temptation, he realized that he was too weak, that he had always been too weak. If Kozaski couldn't do it, then the story really is about us, that we really couldn't do it either. I mean, he was strong, and we're not that strong. And holiness isn't a matter of winning the battle with the devil, but it's knowing the one who has won the battle, who did win the battle, and who integrates us into him in a way where we can find him strong to save. And so let me say that again, because I think that may be the most important thing I would say this morning. Holiness isn't a matter of winning the battle against Satan. It's part of the problem. That's part of the issue. It's part of what it means to be a Christian. But holiness is more than that. It's knowing the one who did win the battle, who integrates us into his life and into his being so that we have the power in the face of the temptations that come our way. 1 John says it this way. He says, "The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." And then on the cross, he says, "It is finished." All that God had given him to do, it's finished. And if he came to destroy the works of the devil, then it is finished. We can count on his word. So Jesus is baptized. And when he's baptized in the River Jordan by John, his distant cousin, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the heavens open, and they declare, "This is my son." God declares, "This is my son, my only son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." And then the first thing that happens in his life and ministry is that he's driven by the same spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted constantly. And then these last three temptations that are recorded in the gospel lesson today. Like Israel was led from from bondage into the wilderness through the waters of the Red Sea. And for 40 years, they're tempted, but they don't succeed. They don't have victory like Jesus does. Unlike Israel, Jesus won the battle. And that's what the gospel writers want us to see this morning. He's won the battle. It's finished. And so they're surprised how reasonable the temptations are throughout the history of Christianity, and so are we. The temptations are reasonable. Jesus, of course you're hungry. It's been 40 days without food. And so, of course, you can say the word, and if you just say the word, there will be food like you produced manna in the wilderness. It could be that simple and that innocent. And then Jesus, of course, you want people to recognize you. I mean, that's part of why you came. Of course you want people to know that you're the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, the one who has the power to forgive sins and to adopt us into your family. You're the one. And so just throw yourself down from the pinnacle. Prove that you're the Son of God, and people will see, and they'll believe, and they'll know. It's very reasonable. Jesus will give you all the kingdoms of the world because we know that they're your kingdoms anyway. I mean, you created everything. They're already your kingdoms. So we'll give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship. And Jesus answers each of these temptations for 40 days and 40 nights and these three final temptations that are recorded in Luke's gospel in the same way. And he says, "It is written. It is written. It is written." But I want you to know that Jesus doesn't give us an example per se of how we're to deal with the temptations that are myriad in our lives. He doesn't give us a technique, really. I mean, we can memorize Scripture and we can use Scripture, but that's not the purpose of this gospel lesson. The gospel lesson's purpose is not to give us a technique. In those 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, it's to tell us that Jesus beat the devil there, and he will finally beat him on the cross when he dies in our place. And so the devil has no more power over us, only the power that we would give him. The devil has been defeated by Jesus. And he has no power over anyone who loves him and is in relationship with him and whose presence abides in them. And so Jesus, we're told by Paul in one of his epistles, is the second Adam. He does what the first Adam couldn't do. And so the first Adam was in paradise, and the first Adam has everything going for him. The first Adam has all the food that he ever wanted, and God just said, "Don't touch that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And so everything is going for the first Adam, but even in the face of all the things going his way, he couldn't withstand the temptation towards knowledge of God. And so he gave in. And so what the second Adam, Jesus, did was what the first Adam couldn't do. Jesus did after 40 days in the wilderness, when he was at his lowest, what the first Adam couldn't do. The devil was empowered in paradise because the devil had permission to influence the outcome of Adam's decisions. he was invited into Adam's life and all those discussions, and he was empowered in all of that. But the devil was defeated in the wilderness, so that the devil's no longer invited into those conversations, and the devil no longer has power to overthrow us. So the three temptations are representative temptations. We read in Hebrews how Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. He was fully God. He invested himself fully in this world and into humanity. He was fully here and real and experienced the things that we experience as human beings. And he was tempted in every way. But here's what's true of my life, and it may be true of your life. I'm a wreck, and I don't do well in the face of temptation, and my record is not good. I am so depraved that the very best efforts to will myself against temptation's power usually fail. Not always, but usually they fail. And I've learned how to better handle temptation when it comes my way. I've learned that there are some techniques. I've learned that it probably does help to have scripture in my mind and my memory. It probably does help to trick myself into thinking, so how am I going to respond to this ahead of time so that when I'm faced with temptation, I don't have to make that decision? I mean, all of those things can be helpful, and their techniques, and to study David's failure and the other examples of scripture in their failures is a help. And to know that some pastor friends have failed and they've recuperated and received healing and restoration of the Holy Spirit. But despite my best efforts, like Oscar Wilde, I can resist everything but temptation. And so I'm learning to find that my protection against times of temptation are not in myself, but are in him. That he who died for me is now the one who lives in me. He's the one who lives strong for me. He's the one who fills me with the power, the ability, in the face of temptations to know that he is strong to save. He mercifully lives in me, and he lives in you. If you've called upon the name of the Lord, as we hear in Romans today, you'll be saved. You're in a relationship with God. He knows you, and you know him. And now he lives in us to give us strength and courage. And he gives us forgiveness when we fail. And he restores us when we turn to him and ask for his help. So Jesus isn't just standing on the sidelines, rooting us on. He's not saying, try harder. Come on. Exercise your will so that you can overcome this temptation that you face, like Prince Kazotsky. He's not just standing there saying to us, be stronger. Come on. You can do it. He has already taken the punishment, the punches for us against Satan. And now he offers us grace, strength, forgiveness, power, and assurance that he's with us, that he lives in us, and that he's strong to save. So like Prince Kazotsky, Father Sergei Leo Tolstoy's story, Father Sergei had a lifetime of knowing that he could try to will his way against temptation, but he finally found out at the end that he was a wreck. And only when he utterly failed did he finally turn from religion to relationship? Did he finally realize that it was God's strength available to him that could make him strong against those things that would threaten to derail him in his relationship with God? And at the end of this story, Leo Tolstoy says it this way: Father Sergei, gradually God began to be revealed in him. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.